so glad to see everybody here this morning. We're going to be in Colossians again this morning. I want to talk about Christ, our life, or Jesus is our life. Remember last week, the Apostle Paul talked about how it was God who saved us, that we cannot do anything to merit salvation. We can't be good enough. And I've had people tell me, you know, well, I go to church and I try to be good. Well, that doesn't make you a Christian. You have to come to Jesus Christ and admit that you're a sinner and that you're lost. And that's kind of offensive to people today. It's like they think, well, you're judging me, and I wouldn't judge you. That's not my job. That's not my position in life. But I'll tell you this, straight out of the Scriptures, if you've never received Christ yourself and took what He did on that cross for you personally, you're dead to God. And by that, I don't mean that God doesn't acknowledge you, but the Scriptures say that the things of God to you are foolishness, and you can't receive them. And I remember one of the changes I noticed when I got saved. I sat down the next day and turned the radio on to KTPS, and for the first time I started hearing the message in the song, and I thought, ugh. You know, I grew up hardcore country, not this stuff you kids listen to today. I'm talking Ray Price, Hank Williams, you know, the country. But I always liked the stories in country music, and I started listening close, and I've never done that before. And then when I read in Colossians as a baby Christian that God had taken me out of the kingdom of darkness and put me into the kingdom of the Son of His love, it started making sense to me. I didn't read the same books anymore. They didn't interest me. I found that I was changing from the inside out. And that's what Jesus Christ does. It took me about 3 years to get me to get a haircut. But, you know, God wasn't bearing witness with me like some of the deacons and elders I come across. You know, if you want to look more like a Christian, cut your hair. You look at the pictures of Jesus in church, and He had long hair and a beard and wore sandals. It's like, I don't think you guys would let Him in here. Today we're going to talk about Jesus Christ, our life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to God except through me. Today that's considered intolerant and bigoted, because the world today will say all paths lead to God. Well, eventually you're going to get to God, but you ain't going to like it when you get there. If you don't go through Jesus Christ, you are not going to like the outcome. The text today is Colossians 2, verses 6 through 15. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Father, I thank You that Your word never returns to You void. You said as the snow and the rain, it will accomplish what You sent it out to do. I thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit, whom You've left to live within Your people, that we may know the truth only if we want to know, Lord, and if we will see. I thank You for Your word, which is truth. I thank You that You reveal God to us still to this day, and that He reveals You to us. Lord, I thank You that we have the Holy Trinity living within us, those who are children of God. I pray if anyone here today has never come to You as Savior, that this will be a day of salvation. Holy Spirit, take Your sword and do Your work. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul begins by saying to the Colossians, stay where you are in Christ. Now, I'm paraphrasing that. He said, as you have heard Christ, stay there. Remember, I told you that the Docetists and the Gnostics had got into the church and were saying, well, you can be a Christian, but you can't know God. And Jesus is just an emanation from the Father. Some of them said He was a phantom, that He wasn't really in a human body. It just looked that way. And some said, well, Jesus was a man, and the Christ consciousness came on at baptism and left when He was nailed to the cross. So He didn't die for your sins. He came here to set us free from ignorance. And they possessed the knowledge, and you could have it too for $49.95 a session. You know, basically that's what they were doing. And Paul says to the church, look, I hooked you up with Christ. I preached the gospel to you. He said, and you have embraced it. You know, it's funny to me that when we talk about walking in faith as Christians, one of the biggest steps of faith you can take is to come to Christ for salvation. You've never seen Him. You haven't met Him. You've heard of Him. And when the Spirit of God begins to take that truth to your heart, and I call it wooing, when He begins to woo you and say, give your life to Christ, that's one of the biggest steps of faith you'll ever take. But it's funny that as Christians, we can look back at that and say, oh man, that was easy, but boy, this other stuff the Lord asked us to do, that's hard. It's hard to walk in faith. See, Paul's saying to them, you started out walking in faith, keep walking in faith. He said, keep embracing Jesus Christ as He was preached to you. You know, he rebuked the Galatians because he said, you began in the Spirit, you received the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he said, you received the Holy Spirit. He said, was it by works of the law or by grace? By the hearing of faith. Well, they had to say, well, it was by faith. And he said, then why are you trying to do these works? Why do you think that's going to improve your relationship? These people that were coming into the church believed that the body was sinful. No redemption for the body. And some of them would practice asceticism. They would get away from everybody. They wouldn't have contact with other people. And they would treat their bodies harshly with fasting, with beatings, with cold baths. And Paul said the Colossians, that looks good. You know, he said, I've got to admit that. It looks like they're trying to be pure. But he said, you know what? It doesn't do anything to the heart. What these people are doing. See, we have a heart problem. Before we come to Christ, we have a heart problem. You know what the problem is? You're enthroned on your heart. You're calling the shots in your life. How's that going? It didn't go well with me. When I came to Christ at the age of 25 years old, I was a burned out meth head. I thought you had to get high to get through life. And I didn't have anywhere else to look but up. And I can look back now and see where God was working on me. I did a stretch in a county jail one time. They kind of frown when you drink and drive in that county. And I did a stretch in jail, and these hippies from the Assemblies of God, I mean, one guy looked like Jesus, had the hair, the beard, everything. They would come in every Saturday and say, is there something we can pray with you about? Have you ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I'd say, yeah, and I don't want to hear it again. But you can't get away from them. They had a captive audience in those cells. You couldn't leave. But deep down, it was working on me every time they talked about the love of Jesus Christ. And when I came to Jesus, my honest thought was, he's not going to want somebody like me. He's not going to want anything to do with me. But you know what I found out? I was the kind of person he came here to save. Yeah. And he knew that I couldn't win my own salvation. He knew that I'd never be good enough. He knew that I'd never be holy and righteous without him. So Paul is reminding the church at Colossae, we came and preached the gospel to you about the release we have in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, God did this. You didn't do it. In fact, when you came to Christ, you were dead. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're dead. You just don't have a good sense to lay down somewhere. But I'm talking spiritually, you're dead. It doesn't mean that God doesn't look at you and doesn't know who you are, because he created every one of us. But the thing is, you won't hear from him. They had people here that knew about God, they knew about Jesus, but they didn't know him. The proof was, is the way they perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. There seems to be something within us that says, that's too simple. I got to have something to do with this. Well, you do, you obey. You do what the Lord asks you to do. Paul uses two metaphors here in the relationship with Christ. He said you need to be rooted and built up. The King James says, grounded. And Dr. Adam Clark said these are two metaphors. Rooted has to do with seed planting. And he said what Paul is saying is when you come to Christ, you remain in Christ, he's your life. As you grow, your roots will spread and go deeper and deeper in Christ. So Paul said be rooted in Christ. Grounded. Paul is using a building metaphor. And he is saying the foundation's already laid. That's Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians, might be 2nd. Anyway, 1 Corinthians, Paul said, let everyone be careful how they build on that foundation. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone or the capstone. The capstone was picked by the master architects of that day. Because it would be a bearing stone that would, everything would come off that stone and it would bear a lot of weight. And Jesus told the Pharisees, the cornerstone that you builders have rejected has become the chief capstone. It was God's doing. God sent his son unto his own and his own did not receive him. Jesus was a little different to them. He didn't recognize the Pharisees' authority or the Sadducees. He called them snakes. He called them hypocrites, whitewashed tombs. And how many of you, that didn't get him elected as rabbi of the year? They hated him. But he also said to them, the cornerstone that you've rejected, God has made the chief capstone, the most important piece in the building. So Paul says, Christian, as you receive Jesus Christ, stay in Christ. When people bring you a doctrine that is contrary to the word, reject it. Don't play with it. Don't analyze it. You know, I hear that sometimes in public prayers, not here, but I mean in other activities, it offends people if you pray in the name of Jesus. Well, they're kind of scared of him. Jesus preached morality, pureness, love. When I was on the council, one of the councilmen suggested that we open every council with prayer, and the city attorney said, you can't do that. You cannot invoke the name of a deity in a government meeting. But they pray in the Senate every day. And while they had the councilman turn around and said, well, what about that sign behind us, in God we trust? He said, you cannot pray in the name of Jesus on city government. He said, you can have a time of meditation. So when he said, let's stand for a time of meditation, I was praying. I prayed before every council meeting. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, how did we get from Colossae to Ephesus? Well, we're on a trip. Okay. He said, you are no longer strangers and aliens, talking to the Gentiles. You see, before Jesus Christ came, we were strangers to God. We was not involved in it. It was with the Hebrews. We had no part in it. And we were treated that way by most of the Jews. You know, you're dogs, you're unclean, you have no part in what God's doing. But God was always looking forward to the day that he could welcome all men and women into his presence. And Paul said to the Gentiles at Ephesus, he said, you're not strangers and aliens anymore to God. You got to understand, false religion is an attempt to bring you to God. And they will try to seduce you into thinking that you have to live our way. You got to wear these clothes. You got to eat this kind of food. You can't go to movies. You can't watch TV. You know, whatever it is they put on there, and if you don't do that, you're just not a Christian. Ooh, that's legalistic. Oh, Lord, where's the word? Hogwash. Thank you. I almost said a naughty word. It has nothing to do with your heart. Paul said you were aliens and strangers, but now you're fellow citizens. I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And so are you if you are in Christ. I don't belong on this world. By that I mean I'm not part of this world. I don't think like this world. I'm not going to act like this world. Jesus Christ bought me with his blood, and I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Why am I here? Paul said, we're here with a gospel of reconciliation. Right now, we're still in the time that Jesus is trying to reconcile men and women to God, the Creator. And we're the ones he chooses to use to do this. You thought you just got saved so you'd come to church once in a while. Huh. Put a little money back there in the box. Make sure the preacher preaches me into heaven at my funeral. Paul said, we've been all been called to good works that God has created beforehand for us to do. And he's telling the Ephesians here, you're not strangers anymore. You're members of God's household, of his family. He said, you're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. That's why I included it. Because Paul used the metaphor of foundation. You can see here in Ephesians, where he brings that thing to light, was what this is what I mean when I'm talking about the foundation, the cornerstone. He said, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You know, John said, in the kingdom of heaven, in the New Jerusalem, there'll be no temple. You know why? Because God will dwell in all of his people. All of us together will be the temple. That just blows me away. You can almost hear the anticipation in God's voice when he's talking to the prophet Jeremiah, and he says, the days are coming, I'm going to make a new covenant. And he said, I will be in them, and they will be my people. I will be their God. And no longer will a man teach his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, because he said, they'll all know me. Do you know him? Or do you just know about him? I, as a Christian for a few years, I'll admit I knew about him. It wasn't until I got serious and laid my life at his feet and said, it's yours. Now I know him. And I'm not saying that I'm above anyone in this room, but I know him. I didn't know him before I came to Christ and knew about him. I've always believed in God. Ever since the first time I went to church when I was about 8 years old and I heard the gospel, I've always believed it. But demons believe the gospel. But it doesn't do anything for them because they don't respond. They don't humble themselves. They don't say, God, I am a sinner. They don't change their mind. They don't submit to being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and entering into this new covenant. I thought I knew what love was until I met Jesus. I thought I knew what truth was until I met Jesus Christ. You see, these people are coming in here trying to trouble this church, and Paul, in essence, he's saying, you already have the truth. I preach Jesus Christ unto you. Stay with Jesus. Don't follow these other teachings. He said, don't be led away or carried away. Later, in the third chapter of Colossians, he says, don't let anyone disqualify you. I think King James says, don't let them take your crown. Do what? I thought once I was in Christ, I could never fall away. Well, somebody forgot to tell Paul that. Because he's warning these Christians, if you listen to this teaching, if you follow these teachers, you will be disqualified. From what? From entering the kingdom of heaven. Because you're seeking to do it your way instead of God's way. And that's an insult. To approach God on your terms and say, yeah, I know I'm a bad person, but Lord, I'm not as bad as my neighbor over there, and I don't hurt people, so I'll just be good a person as I can be, and I'll go to church when I got time, when I ain't fishing or hunting or something. I'll make sure to be there, and I'll try to drop a little money in the plate, and then I'm a Christian. That doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. You have to respond to the gospel. I was thinking about this yesterday. Jesus came the first time to save us. He told Nicodemus that, whosoever believes in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. For I did not come into the world to condemn the world. God didn't send me for that. He sent me to save you from your sins. Praise God. What a God. God says, you got a problem, but I got the remedy. I'm not asking you to fix it because you can't. Only I can fix this broken relationship, and that's what he did. But the next time he comes back, he's coming back as a judge. In Thessalonians, Paul said, Jesus will come back with fire to take vengeance on his enemies. Oh, don't say that. That just blows my concept of Jesus right out of the water, man. I thought he was this meek little dude walking around carrying a lamb, you know. No. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And he said, the Father has committed unto me all judgment. You know why? Because he became one of us. You can't get any fairer justice than that. That somebody that knows how we feel, has been through what we've been through, yet without sin, will set over us and judge us. So Paul said to these Colossians, don't let anyone disqualify you. It's believed that all Christians who go to heaven are going to have a victor's crown. The elders are supposed to have a different kind of crown. I don't know. But the King James, he says, don't let anybody take your crown away from you. That crown's in Christ, only in Christ. And you don't start out following Christ and then go your own way. Paul said, you'll be disqualified. Paul said it of himself. He said, I keep myself under subjection, lest after I preach to others, I'm a castaway. There was an old man in Norwood. Tell me about a preacher that was there years ago, that kind of a questionable character. He had three sons, and Dad was dying of cancer. And he said all three of the boys were there with him. They screamed. And they said as he started to slip away, he began to scream, "I'm in the fire. Dear God, I'm in the fire. Get me out." And he said those boys were just shook. That's a preacher. He preached at this church. But in the end, Dad was screaming, "I'm in the fire. Dear God, get me out of the fire." He said he was reaching as if to try to get a hold of somebody or someone to get him out. And that man told me he was a friend of the family's, and they told him they were just shook. They still had to have his funeral, had to get a preacher to speak over him. After sitting there hearing that out of their dad's mouth, dear Lord. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father." You cannot get any more authority than that, church. He's the one that will bring you into the kingdom. He said, "If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you." Well, I've never denied Jesus. You deny him by your works. I remember a time that guy came to me, and he'd been doing that internet dating and sitting there telling me how he got saved when he was 12 years old, but he's stacking up with these women, and I rebuked him. I said, "The Bible says sexual immorality is not to be named among the saints. You need to repent." He said, "It's okay, Pastor. She was a teacher in a youth group in this church." "Oh, so you're both Christians, so that cancels out the sexual sin." And I could see he didn't get it. He didn't know Jesus Christ. He knew about him. They may have led him to an altar call at a Christian rock and roll concert, but just kneeling down in the church and praying does not make you a Christian. All religions pray. See, these people thought, "Well, we're in, and this must be just a deeper spiritual teaching." And Paul says, "No, it'll disqualify you." He said, "Stick with what Jesus Christ did for you and will do." Do you believe that Jesus is going to continue to reveal himself to you, Christian? I do. Amen. Will he continue to reveal the Father to us? Yeah. He said that in his priestly prayer in John 17. He said, "I have revealed you to the men that you gave me, and I will continue to reveal." And you know, you can't run out of God. And I think in heaven, that's one thing we'll be so rejoicing about, is that God is going to be revealing himself to us all through eternity, and we'll still not know everything about God there is to know. I'm looking forward to that. It's hard sometimes, church, not to go with the groups. Sometimes we feel like the bad guys and troublemakers, you know. Well, maybe we could hedge on this or that. No, we stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We proclaim it to the lost and the righteous. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will get to God except through him. There's salvation in no other name but Jesus Christ, and he's offering it as a gift. Now, you say, "You're preaching to the choir, man." I'm trying to give you something to take out of these walls and share with people. Because Christians, sometimes we tend to look down our nose at people that are sinners on purpose, and we don't share the gospel of reconciliation. Paul exposes this teaching for what it is. He said it's philosophy, empty deceit, human tradition, spirits of the world. Pick one. Paul said, "This isn't Christ." Joseph Smith was a Congregationalist before he became the Mormon. Congregationalists were very strict in the way that you should live. They believed there was a heaven and a hell. Pastor Russell had been involved in a congregationalist church before he broke off and formed what is now called Jehovah's Witness. You want to make them mad, call them a Russellite. You guys are just Russellites. No, we're not. We're not Russellites. They distance themselves from Russell because he had to go to court several times. He was a charlatan and a thief and a liar. And I read a transcript. An attorney named Stanton, because Russell said he helped translate the Jehovah's Witness Bible. He said, "You do read Greek and Hebrew?" "Yes, I do." And he handed him a King James Bible and he said, "Would you translate this for me?" He said, "What, right here?" He said, "Yeah." "Would you translate that into Greek?" He said, "I can't." He said, I can read Greek, but I don't speak Greek." Now, wait a minute. I speak a little bit of Russian. I speak a little bit of Cherokee. But I don't read them. But if I could have said, "I can read Russian documents and translate them, but I don't speak the language," you'd say, "That guy had way too much fun in the 70s. Done fried his head." And then the attorney Stanton said, "You can't read Greek or Hebrew, can you?" And he said, "No." And then the Jehovah's Witness said, "Well, we're not Russellites. You know, let's distance ourselves." But they're still using these studies of the scriptures. You know what Russell said? "You can read the Bible by itself for 2 years, you'll be in total darkness. You can read my studies in the scriptures without the Bible, and you'll be in the light." Jesus Christ was the light. Not Pastor Russell, not Joseph Smith, not some young moon, not David Koresh, and the list goes on and on and on. Christians, we need to guard our faith and protect it. Jesus said, "Contend for it." That's a boxing term, contend. Be ready to stand your ground for Christianity. Don't throw it away. If you reject the grace of God, what is there left for you? The Bible says, fearful expectation of indignation and wrath. If you go to the judgment seat of God and you refuse Jesus Christ, He will acquire His blood at your hands because you've rejected the free offer of salvation in God's grace. For what? Some people reject it for sex, some for drugs, some for money. Jesus said, "What would you give in exchange for your soul?" I see people doing it all the time. I've had parents tell me, "I caught my son on a porn website on the internet. Preacher, what should I do?" "Get rid of the internet." "Oh no, I can't do that. I gotta have the internet." Nobody has to have the internet. And you're telling me you would rather damn that kid than to take that out of your house? I remember one of the worst whippings I got from my mother. She found a Playboy under my book and said, "Wait till I show this to your father." I said, "I think he's already read that one." Yeah, she took a belt to me and convinced me that there's a time to keep your mouth shut, and that was one of them. But now our kids can go online and download all that. Are you allowing that to come in your house? David said, "I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon any wicked thing." Jesus said, "Be careful what you hear, because unto whom I give much, I'm going to require much." And he said, "How can sinful men speak good things? Because it's out of the abundance of the heart," which is here in the mind, "it's out of the abundance of that our mouth speaks." Garbage in, garbage out. You eat a lot of fat, greasy food, you're going to be a fat, greasy dude. That's just the way it works. I didn't get an amen out of that. Paul says, "In Christ we have the pleroma of God, the fullness of deity." and we've been filled in him. So you and I have the fullness of deity residing within us. Jesus told us that. Whoever loves me and keeps my command, me and my Father shall make a home with him. We've been circumcised. God said to the Jews in Isaiah, circumcise your hearts, not your foreskins. Paul said circumcision was given to Abraham as a seal of the righteousness he already had. You know what spiritual circumcision does, church? I'm convinced of this. It opens our eyes. All of a sudden, we begin to understand things we never understood before. If we stay in Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, I've been a Christian for 35 years or so. And I learn all the time. I'm always learning. I've read this Bible for 35 years and I see something new in it all the time. It just thrills me. It's tempting to go the way the world goes sometimes. But I'd rather stay with Christ. Paul said, we were dead, now we're alive. Because Christ took the penalty for sin, the suffering of sin upon himself, now it's safe for God to forgive us. It doesn't matter what you've done. Charles Finney talked about at a meeting he was at. This man came to him and said, would you go for a walk with me? And some of the people that knew the man said, Brother Finney, don't go with him. He's a scoundrel. But Finney said, I'll go with you. He said, he took me down the street, led him down a dark alley, to a side door, and he opened it, and when he got in the office, he lit some candles. And then he said, he pulled a pistol out of his desk drawer and laid it on the desk, and he said, I have killed men with this pistol, and you're telling me that God is willing to forgive me. And then he said, I said, yes. The Apostle Paul was a murderer, and God forgave him. And he led that man to Christ. It doesn't matter what you've done. It only matters what you do before he returns. If you're here this morning and you've never called on his name, I invite you to. I'll stay after church if you want and sit and talk with you. That doesn't put me out one bit. Would you stand with me this morning? Sometimes we don't mean to. But sometimes we kind of take our salvation for granted. I know I'm just as guilty as anyone else. But when I get to rereading through this and restudying this, it just amazes me at what God was willing to do to save somebody like me. Praise the Lord. If you need to come to Christ this morning, would you come as we sing a song of invitation?
Thank you.
just pretty good.
I think you'll enjoy the night of singing.
I have a prayer request here from Lori for her granddaughter, Trinity Allen, because she's having stomach issues. So, be praying for Trinity. It's the only written one I have. Is there any others you want to bring to the body? Deanna? Okay. All right. Whoever has the closing prayer, would you mind closing for us, please?
Dear Lord, we thank you so much that we were able to come this morning and hear your word. We ask that you be with every single person on our prayer list and be with those who couldn't be here today for whatever reason. And we pray for our concert tonight, that it be an outreach to the city of Mansfield, that we could draw people who know they are needing something in their lives, that they could hear something in the music that would make them want to know more about you. Be with us, keep us safe as we go out in this coming week, and bring us back again next week. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.